You're listening to Sunnyside Up, a B2B podcast that brings you the juiciest insights from go-to-market leaders and practitioners.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Sunnyside Up. I'm your host, Chris Moody. Today I'm very excited to have two folks we've spoken with before, Liam Maroney and Grayson McDonald, and we're talking about preparing for Google's upcoming crackdown on bulk email. This is a topic that we should all be paying attention to, so we're going to break format a little bit. There will be plenty of times where I'm not even talking, which is amazing for all of us and for everyone listening. But Liam, I'd love for you to reintroduce yourself to everyone, and then we can kick over to GA.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to be back. My name is Liam Maroney. I am one half of the Storybook Marketing Agency. Before that, my background has been very much on the marketing and particularly marketing ops and email side of the house. I have worked in tech startups my entire career. I have definitely been a bulk email sender at most of those companies. So I have been guilty from the marketing side of the house.
As mentioned, my name is Grace Ann. Most people call me GA. I'm the other half of Storybook Marketing. And prior to getting into demand gen, I started out in the SDR, BDR world in building and growing those teams. I fought a number of uphill battles on email deliverability. I was constantly beating the drum against bulk sending. And I took even a bit of a sidestep into RevOps after that. And so through both of those experiences, I gained a lot of just firsthand perspective on email deliverability and how much it can harm your program if not taken seriously.
That's awesome. I was almost going to say fighting the good fight as BDR, SDR. I mean, it's such a hard job, just constant rejection. So we really appreciate, thank you for your service. We'll just leave it at that. Thank you for your service.
I love it.
So the first thing, let's dive into what's actually going on. So we know that Google has some new email and domain policies that will impact every single person listening that's using marketing automation. So I'd love for you to explain it to everyone first. Let's start there.
Yeah, I'm going to take the explain it to me like I'm five approach to this because I know it can be really confusing to understand. It took me a minute to really wrap my head around it. So it's actually Google and Yahoo both released these regulations. They are both in effect now as of February of 2024. And what it pertains to are anybody sending emails to personal Gmails or Yahoo email addresses. And so we'll talk about this more in a minute, but this doesn't include anybody sending to Google Workspace accounts, which is a lot of tech companies and a lot of the folks that are emailed by sales and marketing teams. That said, there's still probably a lot of personal Gmails and Yahoo emails in Teams sales and marketing databases. And so that's the first point. Anybody who's emailing Gmails or Yahoos is who this would pertain to. Where it starts to impact teams is the first piece is you need to be classified as a bulk sender to these domains. And you're classified as a bulk sender is if you send both of them slightly differ in their metrics. It's about 5,000 emails a day on any given day to Gmail and Yahoo emails. And that's inclusive of everyone from your domain. So if the CEO is sending to two people who have a Gmail, the sales team has emailed 500 people who have a Gmail, it all adds up. So if on any given day, your entire domain emails 5,000 Gmails or Yahoos, you would be classified as a bulk sender. And what's really going to, I think, be tough for teams is that once you're classified as a bulk sender, it's as far as what Google said right now, it's impossible to remove that status. Once it's assigned to you, your domain is considered a bulk sending domain. And then that's when the spam regulations start to really kick in. Google's regulation has been set to needing to keep your spam rate to under 0.3% as a bulk sender. So you first need to be classified as a bulk sender, which we'll talk about more here in a minute. I think it's going to be a lot of tech companies. And then you have to keep your spam rate's under 0.3%. And there's a number of tools you can use to check this because if you don't, Google will then block anybody from your domain from sending to those Gmail addresses.
And by the way, while it sounds like a lot of emails, it's not like everyday average. It is if there is a day you have crossed that threshold, welcome to the club. And we checked this with a client of ours just yesterday. They're a typical Series C tech startup company. We looked at how many they sent yesterday. There were no campaigns running. There was nothing unusual happening. Just the newsletters, the drip campaigns, everything coming out of their marketing automation database. And it was about 1,200 emails just yesterday with nothing unusual going on. So one campaign where you send one big email to the database, that's it. Box checked. It's on your permanent record.
That's really interesting, Liam, because, well, a lot of B2B companies are probably hearing this and going, well, oh, well, we don't have that many Gmail addresses because the number seems so large. But if you think about the grand scheme of things and how many emails are actually going out, I'd love for you to kind of grab the average B2B marketer by the shoulders and stress to them why this is important to them, even if they're thinking, well, that may not apply to me, because I do think we tend to downplay the amount of email we're actually sending. So it's usually only the person who's running the marketing automation platform that knows, no, when we send a campaign, I mean, we're hitting hundreds of thousands of email addresses, and so many of those are personal that we haven't matched yet. So what would be some of that guidance to make sure everyone's paying attention?
I think one thing that's worth saying, especially within marketing automation, is you have to remember that these things are just nesting dolls of triggers. So just because you say, hey, we have very segmented lists, and on any given list, like, we don't exceed 500 because they're so curated, that's great. But if you have a high traffic website, if people are downloading your content and they're putting in Gmail addresses, and those people are getting autoresponders saying, thanks for downloading, here's your ebook, here's a rejection, here, any number of these things is an email to a domain that is all adding to that number. So it's not just a batch campaign. It's anything and everything that's running. And in our experience, when you go into someone's marketing automation tool, the amount of debt that is built up in those tools from historical programs, they send probably an order of magnitude more emails than you think you send as a person who's pressing send on stuff.
Yeah, that's always true. And that's where my brain was going. And GA, you hit on some of the initial elements of the threshold to be a bulk sending organization. If you want to expand on that, love to hear more, but also maybe some of the misunderstandings about what it means to be a bulk mailer and how does that impact deliverability? And you mentioned, was it 0.3 or 0.03% spam?
0.3%.
0.3.
So think about the amount of people seeing your emails, and maybe there's no unsubscribe link. So in lieu of that, they just mark your email as spam. That's essentially kind of a ding. And those dings add up. And there's tools like Google Postmaster tool, for example, will show you what your domain's spam rate is. You now need to, if you're a bulk sender, keep that under 0.3. Honestly, the best practice is about 0.1. Like, you really, really want to keep that number super, super low. And it's why things like unsubscribe links and all of these sort of technical things we can start to expand on here are so important. But 0.3 is the threshold you have to stay under if you're a bulk sender.
Yeah, it seems like we could get there pretty quickly. I know that I remember for probably the last decade, Christopher S. Penn in his newsletter would call out a huge button that was, this is the unsubscribe link. You know, if you don't want this anymore, here it is, where plenty of, especially B2C companies, right? I see this all the time. You have to do research to find that unsubscribe link. They will add so many links at the bottom, it's almost difficult to find it. Is that one immediate thing that you think everyone should rethink? Like, how do we make sure people know how to unsubscribe?
Oh, for sure. I would say a lot of marketing automation tools and emails you're sending through marketing automation tools like newsletters, I think a lot of those have just become such standard practice. I think a lot of them almost require you to put it on there before they'll even let you trigger an email. Where I think it starts to get a little bit more subjective is in sales automation tools. So tools like SalesLoft and Outreach, where they might prompt you to include it, but oftentimes it's left to the discretion of reps of whether or not they want to include it. Having managed a lot of those reps, I know oftentimes they're reluctant to include it because it makes the email feel like it was automated, which I get. But at the same time, this is really going to start to, I think, have some downstream effects. And so adding those unsubscribe links in your sales outreach cadences, there's ways, I think, of messaging it to the same effect as with marketing newsletters. Like, you know, if you're the wrong person, if you don't want to hear from me anymore, I get it. Just let me know here. I think there's ways to soften that language beyond just a blanket unsubscribe link. But we've seen it happen where if people don't have them, people will just mark you as spam if they really haven't agreed to be contacted. And that's going to start to add up.
I can tell you a way that I've done this. That is definitely a marketing problem. It's one thing to have a visible unsubscribe link. The experience you take them through after they click that link is actually worse than a lot of people sometimes think. There's a lot of particularly SaaS companies where you click unsubscribe and it takes you to a page that goes, oh no, do you really want to? Are you sure? And then there's like a guilt trip and a guilt trip. And then eventually you just go like, you know what? Hard spam on that. I'm not taking that from you. So like, just because you've given them the ability to, if you're making them feel like it's a negative experience through that process, that, like, all of those are opportunities to get people to have visceral responses, especially if they know the power of hitting a spam button.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think it's a plot twist when you mentioned, you know, the sales loft and the outreach of the world and plenty of things when, let's be honest, folks who haven't done their research on this were probably thinking, oh, this is only a marketing automation problem. But then you think, oh no, every SDR, every BDR, every AE that's reaching out to someone in an automated way that is probably with triggers and cadences and things that are going to automatically make this happen. And then we go to our inboxes and think about all the times we're randomly sold things that are not relevant to us, or they say, you're using a product, we'd love to switch you to this, and you don't even use that product. So it's so much easier to hit report spam because you know that this is not intended for you. They didn't even do your research. What are some of the initial reactions there? Because I do think there was a bit of a gotcha there for the folks who are just thinking marketing automation, right?
Yep. I was just saying this to Liam yesterday, and I apologize in advance that this is such a dark analogy. I really wish I could think of a better one. But I think it really highlights why the partnership between sales and marketing teams is so important. What's likely to happen now in this scenario is that marketing may load the gun by having a database full of Gmails that might just be lurking in the background, and by doing large database pushes will push their domain to be classified now as a bulk sender. But then I think the sales teams might even inadvertently end up pulling the trigger with things like lack of unsubscribe rates. There's a whole lot of email deliverability, domain authentication stuff, which I can overview very quickly in human terms, that set their deliverability up for success. Because if you don't, then once you're marked as a bulk sender, I think it's going to be sales teams' potentially lack of diligence there that will lead them past that 0.3 spam rate.
It's really worth going all in on what the penalties of actually crossing this threshold are, because this is not like GDPR was a serious thing when it came in. And like, to the point of like knowing the power of a spam buttons, every European, and I say this as a European, knew the power of being able to go, that's not GDPR compliant, because there were revenue percentage fines being brought in. The cookie thing we could talk about forever, but like, this has felt like a bit of a toothless threat for a while. This is not at all toothless. This thing has serious ramifications if you get marked.
Yeah, essentially what happens is, we said your entire domain is blocked from sending to these Gmail addresses. So that includes your HR team. That includes your CEO. That includes your head of finance. Like, that includes everybody with a domain address at this domain.
I feel like we should do the deep dive on the implications here. Let's go into it. Let's address the scary, like, tell everyone what's really going to happen if they exceed the mark, and make sure everyone understands, never hit the 0.3%.
Yeah. The furthest extent of it really is like your entire company domain now being limited to who they can send to and who they can reach on these Gmail and Yahoo addresses. I can't imagine being a sales or marketing leader and having to face my CEO or even my VP of sales about that if that were to happen. And so Google Postmaster Tools is a great tool to check sort of, have you been classified as a bulk sender? If you're sitting there listening to this wondering, like, have we already done it? You can check that. You can also check what your current spam rate percentage is in Google Postmaster Tools. I would highly recommend you do it if you haven't already. Some of the other kind of more technical things that you can start to do to safeguard yourself in addition to those unsubscribe links in sales automation emails is certainly, first and foremost, audit your marketing database. See how many Gmails have we got? How engaged are they? I mean, if they're engaged and they're opening emails, there's no reason, I think, to suppress them. But I would absolutely do a database audit and either purge or suppress any Gmails that were maybe from bot lists and haven't engaged in a long time. And so getting that sense of database health, I think, is where everyone should start. From a really technical perspective on email deliverability, as it usually more pertains to sales teams, I think a lot of tools like SalesLoft, Outreach, MailChimp have been emailing customers with these steps. I honestly got to give it to SalesLoft for really leading the charge on this. I think they were talking about email deliverability before it was cool. But there's a couple of things that everyone should definitely do. Things like SPF, DMARC, DKIM, we've all been hearing a lot about. In human terms, SPF basically just means you're sending from a real inbox, not a bot. DKIM means you own the domain, and DMARC is what tells your receiver that you own the domain. That's basically all those mean. And then things like a custom tracking domain, CNAME, as a lot of people know, especially if you're using SalesLoft and Outreach, you should do this. And what that basically does is if you are sending from one domain, but you're using a sales automation tool, those come through as two different domains. Google doesn't like that. They see that as potentially spam. They could flag you as spam for that. So those are kind of the things that can flag you as spam behind the scenes, separate from people marking you as spam. So those are the things that could add up like in the background without you really knowing about it. And I would definitely encourage teams to take those steps.
Yeah, great advice there. So I'm trying to go through a couple of those scenarios. For the folks who may have a lot of the Gmail addresses that are unengaged, let's say engaged might be a different thing. Are there strategies they should use to try to get to the corporate email address and really break through? Or is it, hey, we should suppress these and not send to these anymore? What are some of the tactics you think folks should take if they see engaged versus unengaged Gmail or Yahoo email addresses?
Where to start on this one? Because there's a couple of ways you could look at this. I think even before getting like super tactical, like the first thing is the advice that has been starting to bubble up in just generally like good sales outreach and good demand gen, like is just now really, really important, which was like, don't be sending mindlessly large volumes of emails in general as a just a conceptual idea. I think it's how do you start to get more tactical in that? Like obviously better segmented databases, maintaining the health of those. What I think the important thing to do is not to try and have people have what is like a snap reaction to, oh, maybe we just like put a filter in so that no automated emails get sent to Gmail. That's not the problem. This is an indicator of things that are to come. Like this is not the be all and end all, solve this, and now we can go back to sending bulk emails to work email addresses. This is bulk volume generic communication is becoming penalized in a very real way.
Yeah, I think that's what it really points to is that like you think about this regulation on top of GDPR, on top of CCPA, which was on top of CAN-SPAM, like these regulations are only going to keep coming. And I think what it's really spotlighting is the fact that we've probably inadvertently, but use sales and marketing automation tools as a bit of a crutch in our sales and marketing programs and thinking about how we can maybe look at it from the other side and how can we just improve our programs? How can we just do better marketing and sales? How can we get to know our customers better? How can we send them better content, more relevant content? How can we get them to a point where they want us to communicate with them? They want our content. Because if you solve that, you solve the core of the problem rather than just trying to outrun regulations that are probably going to keep coming.
Yeah, it's almost like we should all be doing account-based, right? No, I mean, to your point, like, yeah, like being more targeted, more segmented, more personalized, more relevant. I mean, these, to your, like, Liam, you hit on this too. I mean, we've been talking about this for 20 years, 30 years, right? Like, just do it already. That's a huge part of it. And, you know, one additional thing that comes to mind for me, which is a frustrating experience, sometimes if you receive in your Gmail or even in your Google Workspace account, right? Like when you get an email that's too long, it's truncated and you don't actually have the unsubscribe button unless you click view more, which I'll be honest, I've hit report spam and unsubscribe on those before. If I can't even get to the link, that made me think of one very tactical thing. I mean, do we need to reconsider the length of our emails?
I think, again, not necessarily, but depending on the kind of email that you're sending. Like, it's okay. Still, because I guarantee that there's a bunch of people have heard this regulation, heard the term Gmail, I heard the term Yahoo, and then immediately went to their internal team and went, put a work email address only filter on the form. Problem is solved. Like, it's about the kind of emails that you're sending people. It's about the amount of emails that you're sending people. It's about sending people things that they have explicitly opted into versus, hey, you filled out a form. Congratulations, you're going to get everything now. It goes back to the, like, it's not even like a technical problem. It's not a like design problem. It's a philosophical, did they ask for this email? Is this email valuable? That's ultimately the two big things here.
Yeah, that is the core of the problem.
Totally. Anything else that you want to share to the marketers, especially? I mean, we do have plenty of sellers that listen too, but for sellers and marketers that may be listening, anything else that you want to stress today?
I think one thing is that in the exact same way that GDPR was terrifying when it first came in, there were also brands and marketers who leaned very heavily into it and said, this is a good thing for us. If we take this on board and don't look at it as, like Gia said, a regulation we have to find our way to like be compliant with at minimum, but to embrace what it probably represents, this is a chance to say, hey, we could be people who send really good quality emails. This could be part of the type of communication that we do. And if you look at it as this is a sign of things to come, we should be better than this right now. Your open rates are going to be better. Your click-through rates are going to be better. You're going to get more MQLs. You're going to get more pipeline. Like, this is an opportunity to be better than the bare minimum.
Yeah. The thing I would add on to that is to challenge both sales and marketing teams to use this as an opportunity to, it sounds cliche, and I know everyone's sick of hearing it, but get to know your audience. Like, truly, honestly, understand your audience. Who are you selling and marketing to? Who are they? What motivates them? What kind of content do they want? What's helpful? And trying to kind of put your own bias to the side, because I know that's another thing that we can tend to do as sellers and marketers, is have our judgment clouded by that. But really get to know your audience. What content's helpful for them? What problems are they struggling with? And as Liam said, wanting to get to a place with that audience where they genuinely want to be contacted by you. They're interested in your content. They wanted that email. That's the point I think that I would love to challenge both selling and marketing teams to get to in this.
I also think, even though it's sales and marketing, this is one of the first times where the implications of this are so big. This is a company issue, but it's a thing where marketing can actually take a really strong point of view, because I don't think, I mean, certainly in the time that we were in-house marketers, I've never sat down and thought about how many emails on the whole does our entire organization send on a daily basis? Because especially with PLG on the rise, especially with product having its own email program, like, it's marketing's opportunity to go, we're essentially like responsible for the audience. They are our customer. And therefore, we want to have more of a say in how do we communicate as an organization, not just as a sales team, not just as a marketing team.
Yeah, great tips. And I mean, even to that point, if you don't go corporate email only, and you think through users of a product that have a Gmail or a Yahoo email address and think through all the potential triggers and email notifications that could be going out on a daily basis to those users, plus on the day that the newsletter goes out, I think it's very easy to do the math. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Great. Well, this is extremely helpful. Thank you both for joining. As you know, we've done this before. We like to close out the show with good reads. So that's the first question. Is there a book, blog, newsletter, website, or video that you recommend to our listeners?
There's two that come to mind for me. I'm sure Liam's got a couple as well. They might be the same ones. Newsletter/blog, SparkToro. Content's amazing. Speaking of great content, getting to know your audience, content and audience research, they're just amazing at that. And Dave Gerhardt's Exit 5 content, his newsletter has been really, really great.
Yeah, I would definitely second those. If I were to go outside of the industry, and I would say just like books in general, given that this topic is about return back to fundamentals of just how you communicate with people, marketing theory books are really, really good. Old school marketing, like Ogilvy on Advertising is great. Hey Whipple, Squeeze This is great. Anything that's a legitimate go back to what it means to do good marketing is a helpful read.
never gets old, right? I mean, the principles are always there. You tend to dismiss them when you're in school, right? And then it always comes back to just doing good marketing.
Our last newsletter, shameless plug, was the theme of it was what's old is new, because that literally is what's happening right now.
Love that. Yeah. We say that with account based all the time too, right? It's not this new thing. You know, we can go back to who started the technology, but the best sellers have been doing it for hundreds of years. I mean, it's always been there. Lastly, very last question before we get into contact information, any great people that you'd recommend we'd have on this show so they could be related to this topic or completely out of left field?
We're big fans of Brendan Hufford. Now, it's very much on an SEO point of view, but he takes a very similar point of view to SEO that we take to things like email, where it's not about technical, it's not about gaming, it's not about keyword stuffing. It's about be valuable and bring people in through value.
Yeah, I was going to say Brendan too.
Great. Two for one. Love that. So we'll definitely reach out. And then lastly, how can people get in touch with you after this episode?
I would say best way to get in touch with us is just LinkedIn. I'm sure they'll be shared or linked, but you can find us both on LinkedIn under our names here, Grace Ann McDonald, Liam Maroney. Our proverbial door is always open.
Well, thank you both for joining. Great to see you again.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having us.
Today's episode is made possible by Demandbase. Demandbase is smarter GTM for B2B brands to help marketing and sales teams spot the juiciest opportunities earlier and progress them faster. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Sunnyside Up. If you liked what you heard, please rate and review us and subscribe to our show on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you consume podcasts. You can also find us on YouTube and Demandbase TV.